This is Joy Novak from Hua Chong University of Science and Technology and Temple University. This is the outline of this talk. I start with the background and the motivation. Data grows rapidly. Large-scale storage systems are deployed in data centers to provide online service with huge data capacity. Large-scale storage systems are frequently affected by failures, such as disk errors, node failures, and rack failures, and so on. Those failures may result in data loss, data unavailability, and repair cost. Rust is in short for reliability, availability, and serviceability. To tolerate those failures, data redundancy technologies are adopted. Usual coding is chosen because it has lower storage overhead in replication. Read Solomon codes are widely used usual codes. Take IS42 code as an example. An IS42 coded strip has four data chunks and two priority chunks. Those six chunks are distributed to six different nodes. When one chunk is lost, four chunks are sent out to recover this chunk. Recovery penalty factor is a factor which is between the data transmitted for recovering a chunk and the size of chunk. Compared to replication, usual coding has a higher recovery penalty factor. To maintain the data redundancy, chunks are repaired when failures happen. High recovery penalty factor induces high repair cost, such as high repair network traffic. Let's look at the data repair process. Last talk focused on the data errors. We mainly consider the node failures, because node failures may be transient, and the fail duration is uncertain. Node failures are monitored through heartbeats. The storage node periodically sends heartbeats to the manager node. When a storage node fails, the heartbeats lose. The manager node will wait a period of time. Previous talks has introduced the timeout mechanism. However, recurring data is different from recurring applications. Typically, a storage node has hundreds of storage chunks. Therefore, the cost is much bigger, because over 90% of failures are transient. In order to avoid excessive increase in repair costs due to unnecessary data recovery, the time threshold is usually set long. For example, it is 15 minutes in Google cluster and 30 minutes in Windows Azure storage. If the manager node still doesn't receive the heartbeats from the storage node, then this storage node is identified as dead, and all chunks on this storage node is identified as lost. And then those lost chunks are recovered. Therefore, the data repair process has two phases, the identification phase and the recovery phase. Long repair time will reduce the repair cost, but it will reduce the data reliability. A common used metric to evaluate the data reliability is the mean time to data loss. From equation, we can see that reducing the repair time can improve the data reliability. The repair time consists of the identification time and the recovery time. Existing methods focus on reducing the recovery time. We summarize the three methods to reduce the recovery time. The first one is decreasing the recovery penalty factor, such as designing new usual codes, for example, LRC code or MSR code. The second one is increasing the recovery network traffic, such as deploying high-speed network in data centers. The third one is reduce the queue time, which is time wait for recovery. For example, giving high priority to strips with multiple loss chunks, the queue time of chunks in those strips is decreased. The identification time is seldom studied because there is a trade-off between the reliability and the repair cost. They cannot be improved at the same time by adjusting the time threshold. But we think there is still an opportunity in the identification phase to improve both the reliability and the repair cost. Let's visit the identification of chunk fears again. An available chunk becomes an identified feared chunk when its host node fears. When a node fear is identified, a chunk is identified as a lost chunk. Identification of chunk fears relies on identification of node fears. Therefore, all chunks share the same time threshold, but we think they needn't share. We propose a risk-aware fear identification scheme. Our solution identifies chunk failures according to the risk level of their host stripes and apply different time thresholds accordingly. Stripe is a basic unit to evaluate the data reliability. The risk level is defined by the number of failed chunks in this stripe. A failed chunk is an identified failed chunk or a lost chunk. According to the risk level, stripes are classified into two types, low-risk stripe and a high-risk stripe. A low-risk stripe is a stripe which has a small number of failed chunks. A high-risk stripe is a stripe which has more failed chunks. In our discussion, a low-risk stripe is a stripe with one failed chunk, and a high-risk stripe is a stripe with two or more failed chunks. When some nodes fail, many stripes are affected due to a randomized chunk layout. Only a small fraction of those affected stripes has many failed chunks and become high-risk stripes. Therefore, most repair cost is induced by repairing their chunks in low-risk stripes. Thus, postponing the identification can dramatically reduce the repair cost. Second, A1 is a chunk in low-risk stripe. The recovery time is dominant in the whole repair time. Therefore, the negative effect on the data reliability by postponing the identification is little. Third, B1 and B2 are chunks in high-risk stripe because high-risk stripes have a higher recovery priority. The recovery time is short. Then the identification time is dominant in the whole repair time. Thus, expediting the identification is effective in improving the data reliability and availability. If the fair identification of chunks in those two types of stripes can be handled separately, the RAS can be improved simultaneously. The key principle of RAFE is the more failed chunks a stripe has, the shorter fair identification threshold those chunks take. Therefore, we use multiple different time thresholds. They satisfy that Ti decreases as I increases. Then, for a failed chunk in a stripe, if there are another I minus one failed chunks, and the fair duration of this I failed chunks are all longer than the preset time threshold, Ti, then the failed chunk is identified as a lost chunk. We use an example to illustrate the identification. A time threshold, T1, which is larger than the original time threshold, T, is set to identify fears of chunks in low-risk stripe. In the meanwhile, threshold T2, which is shorter than T, is set to identify fears of chunks in the high-risk stripe, as shown in the figure. Using RAFE, A1 is a failed chunk in a low-risk stripe, and the fair duration of A1 is postponed. In the meanwhile, B1 and B2 are two failed chunks in a high-risk stripe. The fair identification of chunks B1 and B2 is expedited. Look at some features of RAFE. First, all your time threshold can be set independently to get a proper trade-off between the data reliability, availability, and the repair cost for a certain type of strips. Second, the identification depends on the number of failed chunks and the failed durations. Therefore, we need to trace the failed chunks in strips. The benefit and the cost. First, Roughly separate the identification of failed chunks in different risk level of stripes. Then the RAS are improved. Second, Roughly can work together with existing optimizations which focus on the fear recovery phase because Roughly focus on the fear identification phase. The cost. Degrade is an operation to read unavailable but recoverable chunks in a strip because we postpone the fear identification of chunks in low-risk strip. More failed chunks might be generated, thus increasing degrades. However, the simulation results demonstrate degraded rates increased by less than 1.7%. Moreover, degree rates are much fewer than normal rates. Their overhead is very small. Second, because Roughly needed to trace all failed chunks, it caused huge memory to maintain the list of failed chunks. This memory usage can be saved by using failed node lists. We discussed it in our implementation. We use a hybrid approach to evaluate Roughly by both simulation and prototype implementation. The effectiveness and efficiency of Roughly on the RAS are evaluated through simulations. The design details and computational cost of Roughly are verified through prototyping running on a real distributed storage system. We developed an event-driven simulator, DRSIM. It consists of four modules. DRSIM has two features. A simulation iteration can be finished in tens of seconds. Therefore, we run hundreds of thousands of iterations for each simulation configuration to accurately measure RAS. Second, many state of the art optimization and data recovery are integrated into DRSIM. Important parameters and values are listed on the table. The simulation results demonstrate that the RAS are improved. The mean time to data loss is improved by a factor up to 11. The data unavailability time is reduced by up to 45%. The repair network traffic is reduced by up to 27%. To further understand the effectiveness of the RAS, different parameters T1 and T2 are used to get the RAS. Points on the diagonal represents the traditional fair identification. Points on blue line has the same repair cost with point A. The repair cost is much sensitive to the changement of T1. It confirms that postponing the identification of failed chunks in low-risk strip can dramatically reduce the repair cost. Points on green line has the same reliability with point A. And the points on the red line has the same availability with point A. And the data reliability and availability are more sensitive to the changement of T2. It confirms that expediting the identification of failed chunks in high-risk strips is effective in improving the data reliability and availability. Between the blue line and the red line, points in this area has better RAS than point A, this area. Summarize of our simulation. A simulator is developed to verify Roughly. Intensive simulations are conducted. The results are shown in our paper. To further evaluate the effectiveness of Roughly, we use the prototyping experiments. The prototype implementation is based on Hadoop distributed field system. Roughly HDFS replaces field chunk lists with field node lists. In such a manner, the memory usage of maintaining the numerous field chunks is saved. The node monitor module reports the field nodes and the field duration. The classification module inserts nodes to different IT according to the field durations. The identification modules are used to identify chunk fears by querying the existing data structures. Therefore, there occurs computational cost. To evaluate the computational cost, we run the experiments on cluster, which consists of one name node and 19.6 data nodes. Each data node has 68,000 chunks on average. The time spent to identify chunk fears is used to represent the computational cost. The red figure shows that the time spent to identify chunk fears increases as the system scales up. The left figure shows that the time spent to identify chunk fears increases linearly as concurrent node fears happen. Moreover, in our evaluation, only one single thread is used to check all chunks on failed nodes. In fact, we can use multi-threading technology to check all chunks on failed nodes. For example, therefore, the time spent to identify all chunks on failed nodes can be dramatically reduced when multiple nodes fail concurrently. Conclusion. We propose a risk-aware fear identification scheme, RAFI. A chunk fear is identified through multiple independent identification thresholds based on the risk level of the steps. Second, a simulator is developed to vary RAFI, and extensive simulations are conducted. The results demonstrate that RAFI simultaneously improves RAS. So third, a prototype of RAFI is implemented in HDFS. It confirms that the computational cost of RAFI is negligible. We appreciate our shepherd and reviewers for your help and comments on this paper to make this paper better. Thank you.
Jeff Canning, Harvey Mudd College. If you could return a couple of slides back to your graph of.
Which one?
Toward the very end, you had a graph of number of nodes versus something on the y-axis. I don't remember what it was, sorry. You had 1 to 64 nodes, and you had y-axis going up to 81, 92.
Oh, I kind of hear it clear.
You had a graph that had 1 to 64 nodes on the x-axis and a y-axis that went up to 8,192. Okay, keep going. Yeah, keep going. You don't have any more graphs before your conclusion? Yeah, keep going. Oh, no, I'm sorry, that graph. Go back up one. Yeah. You said that's a straight line, right? You said that's a linear relationship.
This one?
Yeah.
It increases linearly.
Yeah, but that's a log-log graph. That's a straight line on a log-log graph. Straight line on a log-log graph is a power relationship. Unless you have the actual data to show to us, that could be a big O of n squared or a big O of n cubed. It depends on the slope. So that does not show big O of number of failed chunks. That's not big O of n. That is not a linear graph.
Because it is, this is 64 nodes fail concurrently, it costs 8 seconds.
You may have the data, but you did not show us the data. You are showing is not what you are claiming.
I'm Z from Microsoft. I have another question. Can you go to the conclusion?
Okay.
You mentioned that the chunk of failure actually is depend on multiple independent thresholds, right? So normally, how do you define those thresholds?
This threshold is chosen. This has a different T1 and T2. We run simulations to get a proper value of T1 and T2.
So is there any like practical production system suggestion on what kind of threshold should we choose? Is there any such kind of indication?
In production environment, I don't know.
Okay, thank you.
I am Akira Jisaka, working for NTT Data, and I'm a developer of Apache Hadoop and HDFS. So your presentation looks, is very great for me. So are you willing to contribute this implementation to open source?
Yes, it's open source. It was listed on your paper.
Oh, yes. Oh, great. Thank you.
Hi. I wanted to try to help answer the previous question. I think there was a communication, perhaps, barrier. I think the graph has both axes on a log scale. Hence, it is linear, I think. Both the x and the y.
Both the x and the y are log, so it's the same ratio. 8,000 divided by 64 is the same as 128 divided by 1.
Any more questions? Okay, so let's thank our speaker again.
Okay, thank you.